Tampa, Florida. I hope you're okay after the hurricane. We're coming down there in November. November 14th through the 16th, I will be at Sidesplitters Comedy Club in Tampa. I hope you're all right. And if everything's okay, come on out and we'll have a laugh. DanSoder.com. That's where you find me. I'm trying new catchphrases. Does this work? That's where you'll find me. I think that sucks. Bourdain was like, this is how you make a burger. And I was like, oh, I randomly walked into like the greatest burger spot. It's called, you should absolutely go there. Sam's.
Was it nuts?
It's still open. Oh, if you're in San Francisco, go to Sam's Burgers.
All right, yeah.
If we're recording, definitely keep that in. Sam's Burgers, you give me no money, but God fucking damn it, are you delicious.
Isn't it the best when you stumble upon a gym?
That's what it was. Best. I was walking up Broadway, downtown San Francisco, like after a show at the Punchline, looking for places to eat. And I was like, oh, look at this little greasy spoon. I went in, fucking rocked my shit. Big J, pretty tough to win over. You know, he's from Philly. They know like fried and grilled food better than anybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, this burger's awesome. And he was like, we'll see. And he ate it. And he was like, this shit's unbelievable. And I was like, all right. That made me you get someone from Philly, it's like getting someone from New York to say it's a good slice of pizza.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a sandwich from Philly is like, people are like.
And an Italian kid from New York, if he eats sauce.
Yes.
Or he knows.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's like when you have a friend who's Chinese and they can tell you like. You know what's another one? Stavros. Stavros.
Yeah.
I lived in Astoria, and I tried to get all these Greek
great
places.
Great food in Astoria, dude.
Great food. But then Stavros was like BZ Grill. Shout out BZ Grill. I'm just plugging all my favorite spots. But BZ Grill in Astoria, Stavros was like, no.
Yeah.
You got to go. And like a Greek person tells you that about Greek, and then we went, and he ordered in Greek. One of the best dining experiences I've ever had in my life.
No, Greek food is when Greek food is right. You know what's the funniest, though, is when you tell somebody a place is good and you watch them bite and you could tell that they're like, that you, like, you know that they want to be nice.
Yeah.
They're like, mm.
You know what that's like, the equivalent? Yeah. That's like when you put a favorite comedy on for like a wife or a girlfriend and you're like watching them watch it and you're like, huh?
Dude, yeah.
Or like a friend. Like, how good is that?
It's funny you say that because my older brother's married now.
Yeah.
But his ex-girlfriend, the one he was with before his wife, didn't like MacGruber. And I said to him,
I go, dude.
He goes, I saw it this because me and him saw it. And we're crying. It's we're punching best. Each other. I mean,
scene with Kristen Wiig in the bank where she drops with the gunfire.
Oh my God.
It still makes me laugh out loud every time I see it.
Dude, when he was like fucking the ghost of his dude.
I'm gonna shoot.
And he's just like by himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so me and my brother Christian, we're in the theater crying, punching each other.
Yeah.
So he's like, I took her because I was excited. And he's like, she didn't get it. And I was like, dude,
that's it.
No, man, she didn't, I would borderline say, not only did she not get it, she didn't like it.
I feel like
MacGruber, dude.
And that's also a thing where if you, being on the other side of that, you have to have enough self-awareness to go like, I understand where this has failed. You know, you have to be like, when you see someone love something and you don't like it, you have to go, this is a distance.
This is the where.
Can we cover this distance?
Yeah. No, that's
because some people you can go around and find a bunch of other shit, and sometimes there'll be things that you don't like. I'm sure there's stuff your wife doesn't like that you love.
Of course. Well, you know what? If it's real caring for each other, you go, listen, I know why you like it. It's just not my thing. That's
acceptable.
It's acceptable, and it's like, that's why I kind of like you. I actually like you because of that, because you understand my silliness.
Yeah.
It's just not your thing. But if you're like, I don't get it, like, that was dumb, it's like, no, it's gone.
That's a bridge too far. You're like, I can't.
No. You know what's even funnier is if he's actually talking to his therapist, and he's like, things fell apart, and he's like, why? And he's like, you know, I took her to MacGruber.
Yeah, but if it was a good therapist, you go, if it's that important to you. Because MacGruber rules.
How great was Val Kilmer in that?
I mean, all of them.
Val Kilmer was so funny in that.
I mean, the movie MacGruber, it is one of those things. I think for a movie to get to where MacGruber is, because I think it failed in theaters.
No, it did fail. And then I think it got a little cult following afterwards.
Those are always the best.
That's the best.
Old school, that happened. I think none of them are
Clerks
like.
Clerks was a disaster for like, and then all of a sudden
Mallrats too. I think a lot of the movies, I think we expect them to like do well, but you're like, no, you don't want that.
Right.
Because most people are dumb.
But we're also silly. So like we're in a world of like how crazy and bizarre and silly.
I don't know. I think MacGruber crossed. I think that's just like for more than comics. I think anybody that likes silly shit.
I always liked Will Forte too.
He's unbelievable.
He's the fucking best.
Have you ever seen him give his speech at Seth Meyers' wedding?
No.
It's like in a character.
No.
It's, we got to find the clip and then like edit it in. But he's wearing like a blonde wig and like leather gloves.
Oh, God.
And he's just talking sexually about Seth Meyers' wife. But it's so silly that you're like, like everyone's just dying laughing. Will Forte fucking rules.
Dude, remember he was the insurance company's receptionist? So he did, so SNL, one of his sketches that was a repeat on SNL was he played the receptionist at an insurance firm.
Yeah, why don't
but
I
he would answer
one?
And he would just go, and he would go, oh no.
I don't remember that sketch.
Oh no.
I gotta look. Will, he, Last Man on Earth, that first season, did you watch that on Fox?
Which, I did.
It was unbelievable. Fun.
Yeah, that was
good.
That
was a show where in one season, you're like, I think you guys nailed it. I think you guys did it perfectly.
Yeah, but how funny is that, that like he said, oh no, it's the only place you could never, should never say.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, Will Forte is fucking unbelievable.
He's the best.
And MacGruber, God, I would be so mad sitting in a theater. I don't think I'd be mad. I'd just be like, hit a level of sadness when you see someone not dig it.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is with food, too, like what we're talking about. You go to a restaurant, they don't eat it, and you go, you like any of it?
Yeah.
You like one bite.
You don't like that?
Yeah.
It makes you like not like people.
Yeah.
If you don't like a certain thing I like that's Italian food that's like everybody likes, I'm not saying something weird. If I'm like, hey, try this, you know, octopus with garlic, I get that you're like, ah.
Sure.
But if like, if I give you like
a bolognese
or
and
like
they don't
a meatball
like
with like all three meats with like an unbelievable marinara that was cooked the night before, I can't really talk to you. Yeah.
But you're also like, what are you doing? Are you being,
that guy?
I feel like there are people that are like, it's all right. And you're like, then what's better?
Yeah, those people I cut out of my life, dude.
Yeah, anyone that wants to talk shit like that, you better come with a solution.
Yeah, it's like say what you want about like Eminem and like my son and his friends, they're not really into Eminem the way that like we were, the way that I was, and I know you were too because you watched. But like,
If you were a boy and you were growing up between 1997 and 2005, Eminem, and you're a white guy,
yes.
Eminem ruled.
Yeah,
it's like Eminem was like, oh, this guy fucking rules. But it is weird to think that kids are like.
Well, I don't mind, but I don't like when people are like, Eminem's not good. It's like, no, he is good. And lyrically, he's incredible. His style. You might not like his beats. You might not even like his voice, the way he raps. But you can't say he's not good at the art.
Yeah.
So when people are like, nah.
It's like saying the Chiefs aren't good at football.
Right.
You go, you can hate the Chiefs all you want. Patrick Mahomes fucking balls.
That's actually a perfect example. Like when you see a team that's just dominant and they're going, fuck them. They suck.
They don't suck.
And it's like, they don't suck.
They don't suck.
They don't.
The reason you don't like them is specifically because they don't suck.
Brady wears Uggs. Fuck him. And it's like, okay.
He's unbelievable.
You know, it's like, okay, he's the best.
You know, I live with a Patriots fan, and we talk about it all the time, but there's this renaissance that's happening right now. Mm. And as a football fan, I could talk to you about this.
Yeah.
That someone said the Chiefs dynasty is making me appreciate Patriots fans.
Yeah.
Because Chiefs fans are doing a lot of things where they're going like, it's so stressful. It's so stressful. And someone goes, at least Patriots fans wanted the smoke. Like, at least they were like, fuck you. Fucking Brady's number one. You can't, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Chiefs fans are like, it just keeps happening. And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
But that's also the thing with the Yankees fans where they're like, that's the fun part about them is when you're going to be a big bad. Like, if you're going to be a villain, be a villain.
The greatest thing that Yankee Stadium ever put out there was the Empire Strikes Back.
Great.
When the thing, it's the best.
Great.
It was like the fans going, we are the evil empire, we're Darth Vader, and we're coming back. I love it.
I love it.
Empire Strikes Back, when they put that banner down, I was just like, at first I'm like, wait, are they saying we're bad? And I'm like, no, that's that good.
Because you know why? Darth Vader's cool as fuck. If you're going to be Darth Vader, be fucking Darth Vader. Don't be half-stepping Darth Vader.
No.
Like, God, I'm not really sure about this. God.
He had a point.
Maybe we can rule the world. Join me and maybe something good happens.
It's fine.
I mean, I don't want to put you in a weird place, but I understand. It's like, be a fucking bad.
I just wanted to talk to Emperor, my son.
Being like, kind of give in to your hate. Give in to your dislike.
He's like this. Yeah. Vader's like this.
Yeah.
I should have been a more present father.
Yeah. I lost contact with you during your developmental years.
Yes. Give in to your misunderstanding.
Oh, dude.
Sorry about that.
I can feel your confusion.
He goes, not kind of good.
Yeah, dude, you can't fucking. It's like I respect the fuck as a sports fan out of teams that are like double guns, baby. We're the best. And Boston, you can't argue it, had the greatest.
Yeah.
2 decades of sports fandom.
Dude, that title town thing when they had all their teams winning, you know? Because even if, let's just say the Knicks, God willing, God.
I know.
But let's just say the
Honestly,
Knicks.
Honestly, you guys are starting to be at a point where, and I've always said this, once Melo left your team, I would cheer for the Knicks.
Oh, dude, I mean the Knicks mean more to me. And my son, I don't know if I told you, he's an unbelievably well-rounded kid.
Yeah.
He's one of the best basketball players in the school, one of the best shooters in the area, and working with, like, he's an amazing kid.
Yeah.
And good grades, and he's respectful. And you mean, like, what a nice. When my son watches the Knicks, dude, he turns into my wife is like, we need to talk to him, dude.
Yeah.
When we lost that game in to the Sixers, we were up like 5 with 20 something seconds left, and we lost at the end. The words that came out of his mouth, and then he went in the bedroom and he slammed the door so hard everything fell off his wall. He going, mother, fuck this, and he's starting to say words that, and my wife is like, he can't, we need to talk to him.
But
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was waiting for it. I was going, but
I was like,
dad's going like, that's my fucking
dude,
boy.
Dude, we're watching.
Let's go Knicks.
We're watching the Giants the other day, and he goes, "You don't know what this game would mean to me." And I literally said, "I go, buddy, it's week 4. That's a problem."
Okay, good.
It's week 4.
But you know what? Good on you to pump the brakes on it.
Like I'm like, listen, I love. I said to myself,
because I am not good when the Niners lose. I am not okay.
See, I'm a good loser. Like I get quiet.
I mean, like what goes on in my brain is pure anger. I was lucky enough, Michael Che got me a Super Bowl ticket for the last Super Bowl.
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there. Texting. Yeah, that's right. We were texting. We didn't meet up. Yeah.
Shane was there with Bud Light.
Yep.
We had all these big plans. Oh, the plans you make when you go to the Super Bowl. God. Where you go, after the Super Bowl, we're meeting up. We're fucking gambling until the sun comes up. We're going to eat crab legs. Niners lost. I was like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
I was standing next to Mike Bertolina, who was the president of ATC at the time, and he's just like such a Niners fan. He's got the jacket with the gold, the shiny.
Yeah, him and Al Magical are...
Yeah, he's got the shiny jacket, the old school.
I got my dad's right in that closet.
Yeah, yeah.
From 1978.
Oh, dude.
I got my dad's like old school Niners coat. Yeah,
he was just decked out, and like I put money on him. I changed my pick at the end, but I'm going to say this.
Can I tell you something right now?
Yeah.
Because this has just happened to me recently.
Yeah.
And you just tripped a nerve.
Oh, sorry.
When you have a team that you love.
Yeah.
Like a religion.
Yep.
And they lose. It is an affront on your house, on your heart, on your mind.
Yeah.
And then when someone tries to compare that to gambling, it does zero for me.
I know.
I told a guy at the Super Bowl, me and Che told the guy in the row in front of us to turn around.
Wow.
Because he told us halfway through the fourth quarter that he's not a fan of the Chiefs. He just bet on them. Oh. And at that moment, I went, turn around.
Oh, that's fuck you.
He was like, because we were doing a thing where I was like, good first down, but fuck you. And he goes, no, I just put money on him. And I went, we're fucking done with you.
I'm going to say something, and I think some people are going to get upset in Kansas City, but I'm going to be honest with you. I watched that game. We were very close. We watched everything. Now, granted, the fumble on the kick was actually a huge part, because you guys were winning the game probably everywhere you can in that game. The Niners were ahead.
Yeah.
But dude, the holding call, non-calls on Bosa, they showed it 3 times.
Yeah,
dude.
They tackled him.
Dude, but the one that was so egregious, where Mahomes is going to get sacked.
Fred Warner.
He's going to get sacked, and the both arms are on Bosa's shoulder pads holding. Oh. It was one of the most egregious fucking non-calls. And listen, I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Listen, I had money
on
the Niners.
You like watching the Niners lose.
I had money on the Niners. Sure. And I never, no, but here's the thing. I met the Niners like upper office.
Oh, yeah.
And the Niners and Giants never had a real rivalry. Other than when Montana got that, when Montana got.
Late 80s, dude. Remember? You're not remembering the late 80s. The Giants and the Niners were meeting every year in the playoffs.
Well, when Leonard Marshall hit.
What happened is it quickly turned into the Niners and the Cowboys again.
Yeah.
But late 80s, dude?
Yeah. But I'm saying this, we're talking 20 years removed. 30.
Yeah,
so many years removed of like now where it's like we don't meet you guys anymore. No. And we've had so many feuds before that.
Well, you guys have a division that's filled with real rivalries.
Yes.
Giants Philly, Giants Cowboys, Giants Washington. Those are all real rivalries.
When you talk Giants rivalry, the first thing that comes to mind would obviously be Dallas or Philadelphia. Nobody's ever going to fuck those Niners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a quick sliver of time where it was.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because the Niners, when they go, who are your rivals? Obviously you say Seahawks, but then I go Cowboys like second.
Yeah, yeah.
Cowboys, everyone just hates the Cowboys.
Cowboys are like everybody's fucking.
Everyone's like, yeah. And also.
You either love them or them. Everybody hates them.
Yeah, yeah, which kind of, that's why I like Cowboys fans because they're like, Jerry World, come on.
They're the worst for me.
But you were saying you were standing there with the, when you were watching, you were the non-call on Bosa.
I was standing there with Bertolina. He's decked out and I felt for him and I had money on the Niners and I was all into it. And then when I just saw the replays of like Mahomes, he would have been sacked 2 times in a row.
There was a Fred Warner tackle where you can go and watch it where Fred Warner gets tackled by the right guard in a way that you were like,
yeah,
that I obsessed over like it was my Zaf Ruder film. Like I was like there and I was going right there, grassy knoll, pause it. Why is he tackled? It's losing.
Write a book on it, dude, like the movie JFK.
Yeah. Well, I got a cork board where you come in and you're like, what do you do in your off time? Pimp's worried about me.
You he's got like, circles on the guy's arm. You're like, if he's not holding here.
He's not sleeping. And I go, so here's the deal.
Dude,
in 1978, the NFL agreed that holding would only be called on certain play. And they're like, dude, this guy goes, I go, follow the money, Paul. Follow the
you
money.
You get Kevin Costner to play the ref.
Yeah, Roger Goodell is afraid of me. Where he's like, this guy's sitting outside my house.
Oh, that's so funny, dude.
That's what sports do. That's what I'm saying with your son.
Yeah.
When he goes in the room and slams that door, when the 49ers lost that Super Bowl and we had all those plans, I was like, I want to go sit in a dark room. Like I had a concussion. I was like, I want to go sit in a dark fucking room. And I did the worst thing imaginable. I went online. And there's a lot of people that know that you're a fan that are waiting to say something.
It'd be funny if they had like the when your team loses tent, you go in, they evaluate you.
Yeah, it's so funny.
They just pull up.
How you doing?
All right. He goes like, this with your eyes.
They just hand you a drink. They're like, what do you want, an iced coffee? Sit down. Put on cartoons.
Are you still just, if you're on booze, we have a like there's just
Heineken Zeros, and what's your favorite episode of South Park?
There's like a
Creme
there's
Fresh?
Like an ESPN report. They're like, Dan Soder is out 3 weeks with depression.
He can't watch sports TV for 3 weeks. We're going to monitor him day to day after that. You know, maybe bring him back with some NBA
that's
coverage.
Dude, that's hilarious. Yeah, dude.
The post Super Bowl, dude, it's happened to me twice. The first Super Bowl I went to was 2019 when the 49ers lost to the Chiefs the first time. And it's because Katie got me the ticket because she was working at ESPN. But McDaniel was the O coordinator then. And he got me.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
So he got me. So we got tickets to an invite to go to the post Super Bowl. I don't know if a lot of people know this. After the Super Bowl, both teams still have a party.
I remember seeing Gronk dancing at the Patriots party
after they lost.
And I remember Belichick not liking it. And Gronk is just out there looking like a fucking drunk teenager, just heated. Because this is like right when he got to the league, he was young. And they were like, why is he dancing like that? Like so happy. Like, but I didn't know that.
They have to. And so I basically.
Like, imagine Kobe. Kobe would never, rest his soul. You think Kobe would ever go to a Lakers after you lost? He was like crying after the
But
Celtics.
That's also what's different is NBA is a 7-game series. So it's not one day, one city, one shot.
Sure.
And so what happens is the reason it is that these owners pay like $200,000 to $500,000 to have these parties. So if they win, you're not going to know. Like the Niner game went to overtime. The Super Bowl went to overtime this year. So no one knew. Like at the end of the game, you didn't know who was the champion. It's kind of like the shirts. They got to print up shirts
both.
For both teams. And send it. But they can't send the after party to Africa. They can't just go all those bottles we got to go to fucking Senegal.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, so they gave us this wristband and they're like, hey, win or lose, go to these buses.
Oh my God.
So they lose.
Oh my God.
And we go get on the bus at the time.
What a sad walk on that bus that must have been, dude.
Dude, it was, you could hear a pin drop.
Oh my God.
And by the way, at the time, Mike LaFleur, the Rams offensive coordinator currently, was still with the Niners, and his brother, Matt LaFleur, he had just beaten the NFC Championship game with the Packers. Matt LaFleur still came to the Super Bowl to wish his brother to, like, Matt used to coach for the Niners. So Matt came to, like, cheer on his brother or whatever. So we're sitting on the way to this sad-ass party, me and Katie, behind Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. And it's kind of funny watching him, like, not be sad, because he's like, eh, I'm bummed for my brother. But, like, you can just tell he was like, I don't know.
These fuckers, like, dude, where's the party at? Yeah. He's like,
these fuckers beat us. So that was the funniest thing, is going to the party and watching family members that are, like, disconnected enough that they can go, like, this taco station. And they're like, because that's really what it was.
Yeah, he was just thrilled to party. Yeah.
And so, Kate, dude, the most depressing thing in the world. It's like if the person you were going to the funeral for was still alive and they caught you celebrating at the reception. Where you're like, woo, what's in these devil net? Hey.
See, sorry.
You see him and you go, like, God rest your soul.
Was there? There was a thing years ago where Bill Clinton and his wife, they were at a funeral.
Yeah,
and they got Clinton laughing with somebody. Like, and then all of a sudden the camera went on. And he just went. He acted like he was crying.
He's like, they see you, and you're like, it's like getting caught stealing out of a cookie jar. When you go, like, I wasn't doing
it. It's like when your dog has something and then they just drop it.
Drop it. Yeah. It was.
That's
wild.
Brutal, dude.
Because also, my friend. I'm a 49er fan, lifelong, so that hurts. But then my friend is crushed because he just spent 100 hours a week working on this to get to this moment, you know?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, it's so funny. There was a moment where I'm, like, talking to Mike, and me and my friend Chad, who were there, who grew up with Mike, and we're like, yeah, man, it sucks. And then Katie's like, I'm gonna I have to be like this. She's like, I'm going to have something to eat. I'm like, can you give me steak?
That's so
like that moment where you go, I think they have asada.
And you guys,
and then she's like, is Coach Anita Pabil good? You're like, I can do pork.
That's so.
It's like this, it's so fucked up.
It's
like this collision. Dude, the Jabberwockies were dancing.
Oh my God.
While all the 49ers were just like, right when the Niners showed up.
I don't know if I could go to it. And I don't know if I'm a player, I could go to it.
I think it was mandatory.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was mandatory.
Oh, my God.
I think they're kind of like, dude, if the owner of
I would just fake it. I would fake it. I'd be like, dude, my ankle.
I got a concussion.
I can't, dude. I'm not.
I don't know. But also, can you give me some of those asada tacos? You're still doing that. You go, like, hey, I never fucking around.
Everything is about the food.
Yeah, you go. Hey,
dude, that sushi station is nuts.
What are you doing? He goes, I can't believe I threw the losing interception. Are those tiny creme brulees? Will you give me a spoon so you can crack
double
it on?
Safety, the double safety thing was such a mistake.
He goes, and like seeing it, and you go, is that a fucking ranch?
Dude, that queso dip, dude.
Is that a ranch fountain? I'm not. Do they have tendies in a ranch fountain?
Yo, coach is over there. I don't want to go over there. But
go get me a punt. Like the guy that like drops the punt. Ray McLeod's like, yo, dude, go get me a punt.
His table's like empty.
Yeah,
everyone's like, God, dude, don't sweat that, dude. I'm going over there.
Yeah, I can't sit with you. Hey, buddy, sorry. I can't hang with you.
Yeah.
There's I feel like that. I was telling Pimp, our building, there was a gas. It fucked his building up too. There was a giant Con Edison fuck up and a gas line on Saturday got fucked up and it shut off all hot water and gas for 250 buildings in Manhattan.
What?
Like 250 all the way down to Wall Street. Like we're on 26th all the way down to Wall Street was affected where people didn't have hot water or gas. And I keep thinking about Katie and I talk, because Katie talked to the guy from Con Ed when I was gone this morning. And she's like, that guy's getting fired, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, they're looking into it. But I keep thinking about that guy. That guy hasn't, if you watch this, if you happen to be a fan of this podcast, please reach out. I will interview you. I will come off the road immediately to interview you. Because I have never felt, this happened with the bridge in Baltimore, where the boat hit the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Those moments, I think about that worker because I know that should be me.
So
I know how I am as an employee.
All right, I got one for you then. This is a serious question. Would you rather be, okay?
I love these.
Would you rather be the guy,
moral dilemma.
Would you rather be the guy that did the bridge thing in Baltimore or the Con Ed thing, or would you... be a reliever to give up a, you're a reliever that gives up a fucking bot, like you're Mitch Williams
or
against Carter.
Did you watch Mets Dodgers?
I didn't.
I think it was a bullpen game for the Dodgers, but they brought a guy in immediately as he comes in, bases loaded, grand slam.
I mean, that's
an LCS game. After
no,
you
but
just
I'm
look.
Talking. I'm talking historic. To lose the game. I'm talking historic loss in the history of the city and franchise.
You're talking about Bill Buckner.
Yeah, I'm talking about Bill Buckner. I'm talking about you know, you just lay a hanging curveball.
Oh, I'd be that Con Ed guy in a second. Yeah, because I'd rather be the bridge guy in a second.
I'd rather be at the party going, dude, that bridge, my bad, dude.
Whoops. Like, honestly, like, I was getting popped. It's just like, I was getting blown.
Yeah.
Fly, make it sound cool.
Yeah, dude, I was hungover. I was hungover.
And then I'm like, this, is that a bridge?
Dude, there were three chicks just fucking.
The guy from the Titanic, you would if you found a letter where he's like, I'm sorry, my love. I was getting a French kiss on my willy. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have seen it. Dude,
poor guy.
Poor guy.
It happens.
He's just like, iceberg. He's like, what? Iceberg. He's like, he's like, fuck. Watching ice just come down.
Oh, that's good.
What the fuck? Yeah, dude, I would rather. Yeah. The thing about sports, the thing about it is your name, your face.
Yep.
It's Steve Bartman. No one would take, like,
no.
Con Ed, gas leak, bridge collapse. Steve Bartman? No way. Steve Bartman had to move to the woods.
Yeah, dude.
Because they wanted to kill him.
That's nuts, dude.
Because you wanted to make a catch. Have you ever caught a foul ball? It's so fun.
They did a documentary. They were like going to his house. They were camping out of his house, dude.
Worse. They were like finding everything. He was like, he was going to have to go get a Travolta face off.
Oh my.
Like they wanted to fucking kill him.
It really is scary, dude. That like every time I'm at a game, I'm like, I tell my kids, I'm like, I don't care. They're like, Dad, we're in the upper deck. I don't care.
It just don't.
You don't touch.
Don't. Okay. I've caught one foul ball and I was behind home plate and I was like, this is where you're supposed to catch a home ball.
Yeah.
Foul ball. I was in like the second section away.
Yeah.
It was Buster Posey.
Nice.
Oh, dude, it was my favorite, one of my favorite Giants of all time. It was pretty great.
I got one at, but it didn't matter. I didn't care. I was at Rockies Indians in Cleveland and I got one.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun. But
it was a ball that I didn't care, so we used it.
Yeah, you're like,
me and my kid are having a catch. From the end of Cleveland.
It's in my closet. I know where it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's crazy is I caught it, I barehanded it.
Yeah.
And the crowd reacted.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like made a joke because when I caught it, I like went like, and I caught it. And then I went like that.
Oh, it hurt.
And then what's funny is this little kid was staring at me.
Oh,
it's like
God.
A little kid in a Mets jersey. First off, I'm wearing Giants shit. I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Also, you're a little kid. I've been waiting. I think at the time I was like 36.
Were you conflicted at all? Was there any chance
not
he was getting?
Goddamn second.
You weren't going to give it to him.
I looked at the kid. I went.
No, you didn't. Did you?
Yeah. Fuck you. Welcome
How
to
old
life.
How old were you?
36. Fuck off. It's like 5 years ago.
He's
like,
crying.
I was like, blow me. Oh, go Giants. El Gigantes. Right there, bud. But I thought SNY was going to catch it, so I like went home and watched the replay, and they're just like in the booth, but you hear the crowd react. You heard them being like, and that's Buster Posey on a 0 and a 0-1 count, and fouls it back, and then you hear the crowd go like, and I was like, that was me. I caught that foul ball.
Because like
it went up pretty quick, and I snatched it.
Oh.
Well, I think I might have been holding a
Coke. Did you break anything? Like, was it?
No.
No, okay.
Dude, pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's just coming at you, and I literally was just like, oh, shit. And
I wish they got on TV. You look at the kid going, no.
Oh, dude. I would have been prick of the century.
Yeah.
That was like when
a woman took it from a kid. You saw that one?
Yeah,
a woman took it from him and then walked away.
Oh, dude. There was one on the Astros where like a hot girl, like a guy took it from a kid and gave it to a hot girl, and the hot girl was like, I don't even like this. But my favorite ones are when little kids pull game on adult women. When they like get one and they like give the foul ball to the lady and you're like, look at this kid's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If I were like dating, if you're like a lady and you're dating a guy and he's like, oh, there's this cute clip when I was a kid and I gave this older woman a foul ball. You're like, oh, you're going to fuck around on me.
I mean, when me and Stacey first started dating, I gave like a lot to homeless in front of her.
That's so funny. How generous, how much of a, you are running a political ad while you're dating.
I gave him like a speech too. I'm like, dude, you're going to be all right, dude.
You crouch down.
You're fine, dude. I'm like,
what's your name?
Dude, listen, we all make mistakes, dog.
What's your name, bro? Bro, what's your name? He's like, ah, nah, 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 nah. It's just nonsense. You're going, hey, bro, what's your name?
Dude, you're going to get out of this.
Hey.
You're a fucking
sincerity
winner.
Sincerity on a date to a homeless guy? What's going on, bud?
You know, should we get him a pizza? You know what? Yeah. Stay here.
Hey.
Stay here.
I'm going to go get you a green smoothie.
My brother put a kid up in a hotel for like days.
Really?
Yeah. But like he was alone. Like my brother's just like, he was like alone. He wasn't with a girl. And he was just like, dude, you know what? Let me just, and he just like set the guy up, gave him food.
Can I just tell you right now? Yeah. From that homeless guy's perspective, that young man's perspective, he goes,
this guy's trying to fuck me. Shit. That's hilarious.
Just
yeah.
immediately goes, do you want a hotel? He goes,
at what cost?
Exactly. Yeah. Man, I don't know. Is it buttermouth?
He and takes the guy his dentures. He takes his crackhead dentures. Yeah, he's like, all right.
It's the opposite of putting in a mouthpiece for a boxing
he's
match.
He's like, dude, fine. Fuck.
Just don't come in my mouth, bro. I'll let you pop on my chest.
He's like, are we talking Hilton or
Hyatt? They got good beds. Yeah, dude. You can't trust. If you're a homeless person, you can't trust someone doing that.
Dude, did I ever tell you? I don't know if I told you the story. This was a bad one, dude. This is when I just got on stage angry and I was like, fuck the homeless. And the crowd was like, whoa, me and Josh Adam Myers. So Josh Adam Myers was at the stand, and I could tell he was going through something.
Yeah.
Right? He was just, you could just tell.
Was he singing about it?
He was just, he was like, things are hard.
I'm not in a good place. I'm in a real, real depression. Bad place. Hey, dude, are you singing your depression?
He's like, so
he's, real bad place. I'm sorry. I love Josh. That's
he gets hit by a car. Ow!
That's my femur.
Oh my God, that hurts.
That's my femur, but so, beamer. No. That beamer just broke my femur.
He has the driver to sing.
I didn't see you coming.
I love Josh. So
he's going through it.
So Josh going through it. I see him going through it, and I was like, "Dude, you good?" I was like, "Dude, you good?" And he was like, "I don't know, you know." So I was just like,
I didn't want to spit off.
No, he was just like, I don't know. You know, so he said, yeah. So I was like, dude, you want to talk? And he's like, yeah, dude. So I literally, like, we got like two White Claws and we went on the patio, and this is like summer, and we're talking, and like, he's like getting heavy to me.
Sure.
And we're like talking. I'm like, he's looking me in the eye. I'm like, dude, you go. And dude, this like in like mid fucking conversation, this homeless guy just comes in like this, hands up like this. Oh. And he goes like this. I swear to God, this is 100%. This is almost exactly why he goes, excuse me. Excuse me, I'm not trying to interrupt. I'm not trying to interrupt.
Well, you're interrupting.
You know, yeah. And he just goes, I've been in the same shirt for 3.5 weeks. If there's anything you could do. And Josh was just going through it, and he was on like homeless autopilot. He goes, I got nothing, right? So me, I'm like, I had like cash in different pockets.
Yeah.
But I knew, listen to this.
One of the pockets.
I said I was playing homeless Russian roulette.
You go.
I was like, dude, I had one pocket had two singles, but others had big bills.
Yeah.
One of the pockets had hundreds and another pocket had 20s. But I forgot where the two singles were. I thought the two singles were in the front right. So I go, hold on, I'll see what I could do. Like, I'm a savior. I stand up.
Yeah.
And I dig in, dude, and it's just a crispy 20, right? And Josh looks at me, and he looks at me, and I'm not one to pull it back.
Yeah.
I can't be like, hey, yeah, right, you piece of shit, you know?
Sorry,
so, bud. So I fucking just, I'm like, all right, go ahead. And I give him a 20, and this motherfucker grabs a 20. I swear to God, Dan, he just goes, come on, man. Like, this isn't enough for what I swear to you. And I was just like, I wanted it to pour. I wanted it to pour and be cold. I wanted him to.
Well, it's also, and let's just be real here. Homelessness is horrible.
Yeah.
People need help.
Yeah.
Sometimes I used to have this joke that I think made people upset.
Yeah.
But I said, I walked by, and this is true. I was walking to the old stand and I saw a homeless guy on an iPhone laying on the street texting someone. And so I went on stage at the stand and I go, who's he texting that's not helping him out?
Yeah. Oh, Joe Barton's got a joke. He goes, if you're homeless, you're an asshole. He goes, because if you weren't, you'd have a place to stay.
But that's, and you got, I'm not saying that's every, entertain that thought in this situation that a guy gets a $20 bill.
You've burned every bridge.
Because I did it recently, but it was with a 10, where I pulled out a 10 at Dunkin' Donuts. You know how sometimes they open the door for you and you go, well, you kind of got me by the short and curlies here, buddy.
Yeah.
Because you're opening the door. You're doormanning the Dunkin'. But I was in a good mood, and I was like, I think I got like a 5 on me. I thought I had and it was a 10, and I gave him a 10. And the guy was like, thank you. And you're like, worth it.
Like, God bless you. But
a 20 to a guy going,
if I give you money, I want you to cry. I want you to cry. I want you to go, thank God you're a savior. At maybe least, like get on his knees, hug me.
Here's the deal.
Some shit.
And this is just the honest to God truth of it. All right. Remove your morals and your empathy for a second.
Yeah.
Giving a 20.
Yep.
It's the same amount of money. You give that to a stripper, they act like they want to fuck you.
Yeah.
And if this guy's not even showing gratefulness.
Dude, I think my buddy got a
fucking. You know what this 20 can give me down at the penthouse? Dude. Up at penthouse on fucking 11th and 59th? Like
you know what Tanya would do with this?
This girl, Roxy would go fucking nuts for this, dude. I think she would probably actually go like, no, I'm falling in love with you for this. This.
How'd you guys get together? He gave me a 20 back in.
I love him. He saved me from a life of sin. But yeah, man, sometimes that like homeless interrupting thing, you're kind of like, buddy, not right now. Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, I have wired, I still rock wired earbuds because I.
No, I have like, to. The regular ones I don't do.
I don't like the wireless.
No, they're also fucking horrific for you.
Yeah, probably. They're probably nuking your brain.
They've proven. Somebody said, who was it? Melissa Menounos, you know her? She had a brain thing. Yeah, she was basically like, if you use earbuds, you're killing your brain.
Well, it's just like a, well, it's got to connect.
And you lose them. And you also lose them.
All the time.
Yeah.
How many planes have you been on where people go, guys, my earbud's somewhere around here. And you're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Well, mine falls out all the time when I'm sleeping. And then I have a wire.
I like the wire.
Also, it lets people know. It's kind of a heads up of like, hey, I got wires in my ears.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't talk to me. But yeah. So funny,
yeah,
when like I'll be because I call people when I walk my dog, so I've been in like intense conversations where I'm like, how much longer does your mom have to live? And then people will be like, what is she? And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And like, what's your dog? And you go, yeah, my friend's mom's dog,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You gotta go on and be like, grab the ear, and you're like, the mic, and you're like, what? And they're like, what is she?
Yeah.
She's, how old is she? She's actually 68, and they think it's spread to her brain. Oh, you're not talking about my friend's mom. You're talking about my fat
doesn't
dog.
Doesn't that have to be mental illness? If somebody does that, I really think there's some sort of.
No, I think right now, with the way that everything is marketed, is everyone's a main character. And yeah. No one realizes that we're all part of an society. Yeah. So I don't think I take that personally when I know someone's in their own story or whatever. And you're like,
you're a real under. One thing I learned about you in the years that we've been friends and knowing you is you're a guy that does not take yourself too seriously at all.
No.
And you're really an understanding dude. Like you're one of those guys that are like, he's going through it. He's a good, we're like, yeah. I try to have that, but I'm more like, part of me is like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit.
So there's, I'm like a mixture where if you catch me on that part where I'm like, this guy knows what he's doing, then I get like real mad.
Yeah. Because
nice guys have a flip side where they're like,
it takes a lot, but then when it gets there, you're like, dude, don't take advantage of me.
You're like, you get fucking furious. But I also feel like when you're the child of an alcoholic, my dad was a booze bag, you learn to make excuses for people. Like inherently,
yeah.
And that carries over into your adulthood where you go like, hey, he's probably going through
That's actually real interesting because I remember talking to a friend and they were like, every time you talk about like something about your dad or something that happened to you when you were young, you kind of like give it a pass or you kind of give it a thing where you're like, you kind of make it like a little excuse where you're like, no, but they're really like nice and they have a nice sense of humor. And they were like, that wasn't cool. What happened? And I'm going, yeah, maybe that does. Nice guys have, I think nice guys have early trauma and then they try to,
but you know, also, deal. But it's also like not a good thing. It took me fucking years of therapy for me to be like, oh, my dad sucked. Like he chose not to be. You have two kids.
Yeah.
Like you're a good dad. You're a present father. Yeah. But like that's insane to me now. Yeah. I don't have kids, but it's insane to me the thought of like if I had a kid just chilling in Denver and I just wasn't calling it.
Yeah,
and I was just on a podcast being like, what's up with the Niners? And my kid's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that
like,
would be.
That's crazy to me. And so it took me years of therapy to be like, oh, I was making excuses because I didn't want to deal with the truth of the matter, which is that this motherfucker didn't want anything to do with
it. You have to deal because that's the painful thing to deal with.
Yeah.
But the craziest one to me, it's hilarious, but the craziest one to me is a dude with a straight second family. While like,
wild.
Like these dudes that like I'm talking, no, I'm talking two families going on, like a motherfucker getting on a plane on Christmas and doing Christmas gifts in Orlando.
That's
and then Arizona.
And then being in Rochester and being like oh, you fucking, you got the bike.
Like two house dogs come to the door. There he is. There he is.
And then, but they know. The dogs know because they go, the dog, what's that other dog?
The dog's like,
there's another dog on like, you. You got, and he's like, oh, you missed me. And you're like, no.
No, that's a Rottweiler, dude.
But here's my question with technology.
That's wild.
With social media, with Facebook, Instagrams, Twitter, can dudes still do that?
I think real sociopath, narcissistic ones can.
You can have a whole second family with a Facebook and a fucking, they're able to fucking look at
that
you.
That guy's at the airport like this. He's like, he's closing out apps. He's like, all right, no, dude, no, it's Shelly's week.
Yeah.
All right, Shelly, I gotta get in Shelly mode.
But they I would blow it. I would immediately blow it. I'd go, your birthday's April 13th. And she goes, my birthday's December 7th. And you're like,
I told you to mow the lawn. Dad, I did. Oh, wait, that was the other house.
We live in Miami. We're on beachfront property. And you go, fuck.
We're on the 28th floor. We don't.
What do you mean, go Buckeyes? We've been a Michigan family for three generations.
He's got different sports memorabilia in each house.
Fuck.
No, today's Notre Dame.
Oh, fuck.
I really think that's the crazy. Because that's a guy that'll like do a one night stand and just nut inside.
Crazy.
No, like, that's a dude, no condom. Like, that's a psychopath.
I mean, let's talk about it, you know, because we can. But we're talking about sports and we're talking about families. The fact that Tyreek Hill had five women have five kids in 1 year while he was married is insane.
That's nuts.
Multiple nuts.
Like, that's
five specific
five
nuts.
Five?
Hey, you're and I don't think it's women that are like connected to you.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not a woman where she's like, I love MacGruber too. And Tyreek Hill is like, I got a nut in you. You know, he's kind of like, oh, get off me, bitch. It's like one of them. And then she's like, I took it and I'm having your baby. And he's like, God damn. Because I always think, you know what I always think about in those situations?
Yeah.
Think about if you didn't have five kids with five women. How much money you would have. How much fucking cool shit.
Cromartie, remember Cromartie had 11 with 12? Or he had 11 kids or 12 kids with 11 women.
I think there's also a...
And he said, I got to keep playing. He goes, I got to keep playing for another contract for the money, for the kids.
Yeah,
there's 11 of them young that like he's responsible for till they're 18. Dude, 11, that's a lot of money. That's 11 colleges. That's 11. I mean, that's like...
Dude, 11's nuts. There was a Denver Bronco that had a bunch of kids. He was a running back. And I want to look it up because he had to, like, get a regular job while he was playing in the NFL. Like, he got cut from the Broncos and someone was like, Travis Henry. Do you remember Travis Henry?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I remember Travis Henry.
Travis Henry had, like, 11 children by 10 different women.
Oh, my God.
And someone was like, yo, Travis Henry's working at the Aurora Mall. And you're like, there's no way.
Like, wouldn't a friend just be like, hey, Trav, dude, you want to slow down? Like...
over a beer where
does
coming on tits do anything for you? Don't you ever want to fucking pull out and spray? Trying to pull out and spray?
Just over a beer watching another game, you're like, dude, that was a good play. By the way, dude, you ever think about just like
slow rolling pulling out? You go, you know how hot it is to come on tits? He got arrested. For what? Having fucking potent cum?
Yeah.
Drug trafficking. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
2008, Henry was arrested by the DEA after allegedly being involved in a multi-kilogram cocaine transaction that occurred in Centennial, which is right by where I grew up.
Really?
For you fucking Aurora heads out there, that used to be called unincorporated Arapahoe County.
Is that right? Right?
Didn't have a name.
Yeah.
But they did not want to be, all the rich kids I went to high school with, didn't want to be associated with Aurora. So they would call it.
Was Aurora like lower, like income?
Middle class. Okay. There's nice parts of Aurora. I grew up in a nice part of Aurora.
Yeah, yeah.
But like North Aurora, rough.
Okay. It's
very rough. And
where are the Venezuelans hanging out right now?
So funny. They're there. It's fine.
They're there though.
There's Venezuelans, but Venezuelans are everywhere. I don't know if you know what's going on in Venezuela. It's not good.
Yeah.
Everyone's running.
Yeah.
That's why they're showing up at all these places, because their country is fucked.
Yeah.
So they're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. But yeah, we're actually having Andrew Callahan from Channel 5. Do you ever watch his shit on YouTube?
No.
He does like incredible documentaries.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went to Aurora and did like an hour documentary that's on YouTube about these prison gangs. And about how they're in Aurora, and they're not. No, he interviews.
It's like two apartments of guys that got into the fight.
Yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, it's an apartment complex that went. The guy stopped upkeeping it. I think he got robbed. I think he genuinely did get robbed.
It's like two apartments. They're getting loud playing FIFA.
Yeah, and they go like, these prison gangs are everywhere.
He takes the fucking Xbox from up
and they're like, they're everywhere. They're fucking coming in here. 2009, Henry was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison.
Oh,
fine
wow.
Fine was waived. He could not afford a fine. Well, of course he can't afford a fine. No, he's got 11 fucking kids.
That's nuts, dude.
Damn, dude.
You ever see that guy, that Rastafarian guy, where they go, how many kids? He goes, 23, 22, baby mother. It's a real thing.
But that's also like when you look at all the...
That's when you're just like, you don't care. Well, the
young guys that like love Andrew Tate, and he's like, you need to have 70 kids with women, because that's... And you're like, how many kids do you got?
Yeah.
And he's like, one. You're like, all right, well, talk the talk or walk the walk. You know what I mean? Like, you got to fucking...
Yeah, yeah. Populate the earth. I mean, I'm not.
I'm not. Fuck that shit. You're like, I don't know.
I got shit to do.
But it's also like, did you see that interview with... I think it was Cam Newton talked to this woman on her podcast. She's like a child psychologist or like a family therapist. And he was like, Cam Newton was making the point where he was like, no, you don't understand. I don't want to get married because I don't want to get divorced. But he's got all these baby mamas. And she's going like, well, you're creating broken homes because you're not married.
Yeah, that's like selfish. She's basically saying, I don't want you to take half of my
shit. But I'm going to let it. I'm going to let it fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, what is bring back? That's what I'm running on in 2024. Coming on tits. Dan Soder. Come on those tits. We're running out of resources, boys. Start coming on tits.
I honestly, that's the one thing. Like, we're talking about the craziest things to do. That's like, there's a guy on a couch, right? Holidays with his family. And then his other kid from another family calls going, are you coming? And he's just like.
Like a side chick. Like a side boy. Hey, dude. You're like this and you go, hey, fucking get down. James, get down from there. I gotta go. Oh, it's work. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Did you guys beat the Roosters?
Sure,
you guys
won? We'll go to Dave and Buster's when I get home.
You know what? Let's sing our song. Who loves you more than daddy does? All right, I gotta go.
Is there a way to find out who's a number on that?
What?
Like what the percentage of men in this country that have been like caught?
Second families?
And I'm not talking like.
You know what's funny? Can I tell you something? Were your parents married?
Divorced when I was 5.
Same here.
Brutal.
Same here.
As bad as it could be.
Oh, same. God damn, I loved it. I loved real heat. Real heat between the parents.
Oh, dude, getting the kids in the middle. Like textbook brainwash.
I did that joke on my last special about there was no internet, so I was a messenger. So I would just go to San Francisco and read a scroll where I'd be like, she says you're an alcoholic and a loser and a liar.
Oh, dude, me and my brother grew up with that.
I love finding people that grow up.
Oh my God, dude.
My mom would be like, your dad's a loser. He's a drunk. He's a liar. She'd always say that. Don't be a liar like your father. And then I'd go see my dad in San Francisco and he'd be like, your mom's a bitch. She's just a cold bitch. And it's like, and you're just in the middle of that.
Yeah, no, it's why we do what we do, probably.
I know. Yeah. We found out.
Oh, we got something? What do we got here?
According to a child trend study, 15% of men will father children with more than one woman by the age of 40. The study also found that most men who have children with multiple partners were married at the time that one or more of their children were born. Dave Grohl off. Dave Grohl. Yeah. How much did that suck?
Yeah, he got
because he was our guy.
He tried to get in front of it too.
Yeah,
he was like,
I just want to let you guys know, you guys are gonna hear some crazy shit.
I'm gonna be in her life.
I fucking love her. I'm gonna raise her, and I'm also gonna try to patch stuff up with the old family.
You know what the thing about Dave Grohl really shows is that it's just life, and everybody's human. Nobody's bulletproof. It can happen to anybody.
So this is what my therapist says to me all the time. He says this is my problem, and I think he's right. Cause my dad died when I was a kid. So he says your parents are like superheroes until you get older. Yeah. And then you realize they're just normal people that have normal issues and everybody's human. But when you're young and your parent dies, they kind of die on that pedestal. They die on that, like, oh, he was a mythical figure.
Yes.
And so it took me years and years and years to be like, oh, this guy,
yes.
This guy just was like,
fucked up,
was just leaving families and going and getting drunk and like not participating in their families. But it's taking people off pedestals. And you got to realize that no one's on a pedestal. Everyone's a human being.
Yeah.
And Dave Grohl was in my mind, he was the last guy on a pedestal for me.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Cause he was Nirvana, but then he's in Queens of the Stone Age. One of my favorite, my favorite band.
You're just outside your therapist's office after Grohl. You're like, you're like another
I'm like
one.
That Ben
you're
Affleck like, meme where I'm smoking a cigarette. Where I'm like, but it is like, I don't think it's, listen, we're not saying if you have two families, you're fucking Hitler. We're just saying it's crazy.
No, it's the responsibility, the stress that goes with that. I got married with two kids. They go to
Could you imagine having that times two?
No. Like, and two wives. Like, my wife is a strong woman.
You got to fly to LA and put on a Dodgers hat.
Oh, my God.
Talk to your son out there. He's like, hey, Dad. He's got a California accent. He's like, yeah, what's up, Dad?
And you know the guy clearly has a family he likes better.
That's the thing.
I got to get back to New York.
I would want to interview someone, and we could go full old school History Channel gangland style, where their voice is like muffled, and I'd be like, who's your favorite family? And go, oh, absolutely the first one. They're way better. I know them more. The second family's annoying. They only know me with money. They've never had to struggle.
Sharon was just civil.
She was just, you know, I think, honestly, I like the first family more. And then if you're, because when you said your dad left at 5, right?
Yeah.
My dad was gone, and I always worried he had a second family. That was like legitimately, that was my child version of, I think she's cheating on me, is like, yeah, I know he's got another family.
I think I knew a comic that said that his father, they got divorced and like left, and his father like lived in the same neighborhood across the street with other kids. Like, can you imagine that, dude?
Cucking your kids
imagine,
like that?
Imagine like
having playing catch with your new son and looking over at your old son and going like, he's like, why are you doing this?
He's like, throw it better, throw it better. He goes, throw it better. He's looking.
Oh, wow. He's like overselling it. Do you hear that pop?
I love the best thing. This is the best part of Soder. Yeah. No matter what road you go down, I can start it. Dan just fuck. I can do it. Dan just. Not only does he go in, he goes into character. Yeah. He goes right.
So, a long time ago on the Opie and Anthony subreddit, someone called me the golden retriever of comedy.
Dude, you.
And I have.
You
forever.
Could go. I mean, you could go down any road.
I want to play
Soder
catch.
Soder just hops in as in character.
I'm just like. Throw it, dude.
What fucking topic?
Throw it.
What topic?
You can fake throw it and I'll go for it. You go, what about that? I turn around and I go, nah, you didn't want to go with that? All right, fucking A.
No, but like my dad was like, when my son Lucas was born, I realized some things that happened and I had to have it with my dad. I had to sit down with him and I did.
Yeah.
And I was able to do that.
But how good was that for you?
It was good for me and it was not, it didn't go as
Did
as,
he know
as
it was stuff. Coming?
No, but it was time went by, and my brother was going like, hey, man, Dad wants to, you haven't talked to you. And I was like, I need to make it not emotional when I do it, so I'm waiting.
Yeah.
And then I went in, and I just, as a matter of factly, and it actually went well, and it was able to give me peace, and it was able to me go, okay, you know what, man, I'm going to have this life now where it's like better at least because it's off my plate
for sure.
And it had to, and having a son made me not to get too heavy on a fucking comedy podcast here, but I just start crying.
Yeah.
No, he held me and he apologized while crying. No, he's holding my
just
head.
Cuts to me and I go, paw, 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 paw. The new special's out on YouTube. Go watch it. Paw, 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 buddy.
No,
buddy,
it was
buddy boy. I'm like shaking you. My buddy.
Especially, I'm holding baseball cards. Yeah.
You don't think it's a good thing, but you don't think
I remember this, Will Clark.
It's okay. But we're going to the Rangers.
It was around the time of that fucking earthquake.
He's fucking Will Shrill.
Matt Williams. Remember Matt Williams?
No, dude, don't even come at me about number 9, the third baseman. My favorite giant of all time.
Bald, yeah, I remember it, Matt. No, but like, I will say this. If, and anybody listening that went through something with their dad or went through something.
When a lot of people gravitate towards this podcast.
When you have a kid of your own and a son of your own and you kind of are in the bonding and you have that love and connection, that's when a light bulb and that's when things from what happened to you go off.
Well, they say that a lot with sexual assault victims.
Well, and I think people go one or two ways. Unfortunately, they're either repeat offenders or they break the generational fucking curse and that's what you have to do.
Fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
And I think some of us, I'm not having kids, but I was lucky enough to have to go to therapy and kind of realize it, get there on my own.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, well, that's the generational curses.
Yeah.
Having families and leaving them. Well, I'd rather be present in my own life and be around for my friends and my family.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. Because I think it's like, because they do say, they say a lot of victims of sexual assault will block it until their kids get to be about their age that it happened, and then it unlocks.
Well, it's like that Family Guy episode where Peter's like, you realize you got molested at 40.
Yeah.
Because you things happen and you go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like a light bulb. Because what it is your subconscious, you were protected.
Dude.
Your body protected you. Your memory and your brain protected you. Go, no. We're not going to let that flash clip come in front of you.
That was one of the post-its that I put up after therapy because my therapist said, he said the sentence, he goes, your father rejected you. And you didn't want to deal with it. And it was hard for me to say it for like 2 months. I go, yeah, my dad, he didn't want to be there because my brain was like, don't even say it.
Yeah,
but then you start saying it and you go like, oh, well, now I understand why it's so important to me that people like me, that part that I hate.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, why do I try to get this person to like me when I don't even like them? And then you're like, oh, that it all.
Somebody was like, you know what? When they were separated and gone, somebody was like, he might have even resented you. And I remember taking that in going like, what? And like all of a sudden I started thinking about putting things together.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows what that person was going through.
Sure.
But you're able to kind of go, oh my God, I was like lying to myself. We lie to ourselves because the one person that we want to impress when you're a kid is your mom and dad.
Absolutely.
Or you just want to get acceptance from your mom and dad. So then when that's gone, you're like, oh, I'm fucked.
That's why these people that have all these fucking multiple kids, it's not that you're having multiple kids. It's the fact that you're not around for those kids. So they inevitably as human beings feel like, well, I'm lacking because this guy's also, if I found out that Gary had like fucking 10 of us, I would go on like a tour to fight all of them because I would be like, I want to be the supreme child.
Right.
I want him to be the proudest of me.
Right. So you looked
through
up
to barbaric
you
combat.
You looked up to him.
My dad was so funny. You'd be around him and you were like, I would watch. He was a bartender. I would watch him like hold the attention of people because he was funny and smart and he read a lot and like all this shit. So you didn't think, well, you're like, oh, smart people aren't bad.
Right.
Because they know better. And it's like, oh, no, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, I also had my older sister, who was my half-sister, who was 12 years older than me. And she got abandoned by him. So when she started coming into my life when I was like 10, she was like, yeah, this motherfucker runs out. And I was like,
oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
And I think it helped her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh, he's doing it. She didn't take it personal at that point.
But see, you probably did what I did. You made your, like what I did was I acted out. So I was, dude, I was an animal. I mean, I was drinking at like 12. I would get hammered at 12. I would just,
12,
oh, dude, I was bringing like pellet guns to school. Like I was shooting bottle rockets out of the bus.
I liked to get fucked up, but I liked being funny.
Me too.
Yeah, that was my thing. Was like, I'll disrupt to be funny.
You want the attention, but you'd also, I was, the whole thing I was.
Oh my God, I got suspended in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Because we were learning acronyms.
Yeah.
And onomatopoeias. And we were supposed to do an acronym of an onomatopoeia. So I was doing like barf and poop. And I was like making all these like long, they were hilarious.
Oh yeah.
And then my mom, I got suspended. My mom's like a single mom. She had to take off work to come and get me at school. And she was like, what? And they showed her all the drawings. And I just remember her being like,
oh God, that's great.
All right. Well, you're not allowed to play Sega when you go home.
That was the way you, dude, I remember I spit a spitball at the teacher and they kept missing. Yeah. And then one, it just came, I'll never forget, dude, Mr. Howard, I don't know if he passed, rest his soul if he did.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sixth grade and this fucking spitball does a curve and it sticks on his cheek while he's yelling at us. And the whole fuck, everybody fell out.
Come on.
And my mom got the report and my mom tried to discipline him and she burst out laughing.
That's very
Because it just went like this and it stuck and he's like, who's doing, and he was like talking with it right there and they put me in detention and I had to write why I did it, how I did the whole thing. And my mom was just laughing. But I would do that just for that laugh.
Yeah.
It was nothing else but to get that fucking crowd going.
There's not, I have yet to write a closer that hits half as hard as the joke that would get me kicked out in the hallway.
Yeah.
Where I would fucking hit one and they'd be like, hallway. And you're like, all right, that's my time. I got to go. I'll see you guys at fifth period lunch. Don't forget to stop by my locker. I'm handing out stickers. You know, like really feel like that was like my first closer.
You're
like,
selling Zinger merch?
Yeah, I know. God, everyone, this is Miss Sukul's a bitch. You can buy this at my locker. You know what I mean?
Go to dansoder.com for all this.
Just in the early 90s, just being like, hey guys, I'm selling slap bracelets that say I'm out in the hall. So, I'll see you guys out there. My mom's like, Dan, what are you doing? I don't know, Trish. I'm making $700 a day. Get kicked out in the hallway.
I'm killing it at my.
I don't know. I just got us cable. So what do you want?
Your
to talk
buddy's
about?
Running your merch table. Yeah. He's like, who wants Dan's?
I go, dude. Scott the captain said we're fucking cleaning up. It's just me and my boys. Got a little till. He's like, he's like, yeah, swear to God.
So was your mom light on you because of what happened a little bit? Like,
no.
Was your mom? Oh no, your mom.
Mom was like, you're gonna behave. My mom was raised Irish Catholic, so she's like, you behave.
My
mom appreciated my sense of humor.
Yeah.
So it wasn't stifled. My mom knew I was funny, but me it was too. The thing that most of us hear. There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
That's always what I
heard. I did have a stepfather that definitely helped.
Yeah.
You know, but I
had a rotating cast.
Yeah.
We had a bullpen.
Yeah, yeah.
So depending on who it was, we'd bring in the closer. Shout out Nick, who was my stepdad for a little bit. And then there were a couple other guys.
It's like a sitcom where they replace a guy in the same role.
I honestly would tell you right now, it was like my mom was the head coach and we got different coordinators. You know, where I'd be like, I don't like this coordinator. I don't like what he calls. I don't like it. My mom goes, I understand, but we're losing these coordinators.
They're talking about your mom like she's a franchise. Yeah. Like, dude, did you hear what happened with Nick? Dude,
Trish is letting her go. They go, I heard she's on the look for a new coordinator. I go, honestly, there was a guy that I hope gets bumped. Buzz? I wouldn't mind Buzz being my stepdad. He's a mechanic. I'll learn.
Dude, Bob's going to the soda house.
It's pretty big, dude. Picked him up from down the street. It's pretty big.
He's got well-adjusted kids.
It's a different
kids.
Role. I think he's going to call a different place for Dan.
I was just going to do that.
I can open up my playbook with this. This kid's got voices. This kid mows the lawn already.
Oh, that's great.
You're one of the best, dude.
Oh, I love you're the best, dude.
This was easy as fuck.
I can't even believe. Yeah.
Check. Out is
reasonable man, dude. It's doing great on YouTube, man. Check it out.
YouTube, it's on YouTube right now. So all you have to do, just click, smash that like button and click. But it's in the description of this episode. Watch Paul Verzi. He's fucking hilarious. I've known you forever.
Yeah.
I remember podcasting with you in your car when the Giants played the Niners in like 2010.
I remember that.
The 2011 NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So it's always great.
We've always been friends. You've always been one of my favorites and love it.
You're the best.